How's everybody doing? Good. Love hearing that. Hey, it's summer, you guys. You realize that? Praise God, it's summer. Where's all my pool people? Pool people, you love the pool? Not enough noise for the pool this morning. You know what? But I tell you what, the summer just brings like a different cadence to our lives. There's a lot of exciting things. Even like Roger was talking about, we've got, you know, our team in Honduras, and we're grateful for the work that they are doing there in La Cañada. It's so awesome. And there's a lot, even to just the beauty and the majesty that's there, that words cannot adequately convey, right? And the people there are so incredible. And then when we think about, you know, ourselves here stateside, we've got camps. Like, I know my kids were at camp like a week ago, and then I've got a couple of other of my kids. One of my kids, thanks, Millie. And then the other two of my kids are heading out to camp next week. And, you know, we've got we've got lots of different trips for our church, things going on. It just seems a little bit fuller. And so today, I'm grateful for the fact that we get to kick off a brand new series called Off the Grid. Hopefully you all kind of read Mark's email on Friday or over the weekend. But I can't imagine that the timing couldn't be any more perfect than starting this series today, because that pace of life is beginning to shift. And I feel like for us, this is a great invitation for each of us to be able to reevaluate our pace of life that we are running at, to really be able to slow down, to unplug, and to reconnect to the one who actually restores our soul. Doesn't that sound good? Amen. So for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be walking through, verse by verse, probably one of the most profound and familiar and life-changing chapters of the Bible, Psalm 23. It's only six verses, and on the way in, you should have received a bookmark. So our hope for you is to be able to allow this book, this chapter, to really saturate your lives over the next 6 weeks. Commit it to memory, because it's an incredible book. It's an incredible chapter, and I think it still can speak to us today. And so before we dive in, you guys probably have one or two of the verses memorized, I'm sure, and if I were to ask and shout it out, somebody could do it, right? Who could do it? Okay, you got number one down. That's good, girl. But do you got the rest of it? Don't read it. Don't read it off of there. Who's got it memorized? Nobody? That's okay. That's what the next 6 weeks are for. But here, I'm just going to go ahead and take a moment and read it, okay? Psalm 23. This is the New King James Version. We wanted to make it a little interesting for everybody, but it just seemed to fit. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Six verses. That's it. So each week we're going to take a look at a verse at a time. But if we commit these six verses to memory, if we carry them with us, if we pray them, if we live them out, it can help reshape our response to fear, to anxiety, how we rest, how we deal with the pressure and the pace of life. It can help us find greater purpose and find greater levels of trust that maybe we've not experienced before. And that's why, you know, we've made these bookmarks. We want to challenge you each to be able to commit this to memory. Keep it in your Bible, put it in your visor of your car, or wherever you need it in order to be a daily reminder. Can you commit to doing that over the next 6 weeks? Because there may or may not be a graded test next Sunday. Okay? But I got to let you know, this is more than just beautiful words on a page. This is the guide for the kind of life that I believe we are all longing for, right? A life of peace, a life of trust, of purpose, and of presence. And folks, here's the thing. Peace, trust, purpose, presence, they are in high demand in our world, but in very short supply. And I think that's why it's important for us today, because we are living in this world that runs on hurry, that runs on distraction, pressure. And the more we try to control everything and make it work and fit within our schedule and our means, we find ourselves more and more restless, more and more disconnected. And we were not meant to live in this way. Anybody here this morning feel restless? Oh, yeah. Okay. We cannot experience the life that God is offering when we're always sprinting, when we never slow down, when we're always striving, always trying to be our own guides. And that's why this series, that's why this chapter, this Psalm 23 is important for us. And so today, we begin this journey together. And it all starts with one simple and powerful choice: to follow the guide. And for me, there is something incredibly appealing about slowing down, disconnecting, and going off-grid. I probably romanticize it a little bit. Right? No notifications, no emails, no pressure, just peace and quiet. Amen? Oh, yeah, it sounds so good. But what I found, and maybe you have found this too, even when you manage to step away, I still carry a lot of the noise with me. My calendar might be open, might be clear, but my mind isn't. I might not be checking emails, but I definitely have a to-do list going on in my mind in the background. And I'm still trying to figure out, you know, a dozen things in my head. My family, Lauren and the girls, we love almost every single weekend, weather dependent, to load up in the car, maybe not take our dog with us, but to go head to some local parks, some local trails like High Banks, Durantsu, Thaddeus Park, all these other places. Duranko, did I say it wrong? Yeah. I Googled it, Millie, like how to say it phonetically. And I think it's Durantsu. I could be wrong. It's Duranko? Okay. Regardless, okay, wherever we find ourselves, I could be enveloped in the beautiful scenery, the trees and the trails, and there's just something like, honestly, there's something incredible about not being able to hear that electric hum that comes from lights or hearing cars. But I tell you what, even when I'm in those settings, my mind is not always there. My mind might be elsewhere. I might be thinking to myself, was that my phone buzzing in my pocket? As I'm like reaching around to see where I have my phone, and it's not on me, it's at my seat. But there's this thing called the phantom phone buzz, you know what I'm talking about? If you were to Google it, or, you know, same thing for our watches, we get all these notifications, and now we're conditioned, right, to think that we've got a notification. There's some kind of urgency that's there. So I'm asking myself, was that my phone buzzing? Or when we get done with this, how much time do I have before, you know, our next thing that we're doing? Because Lauren likes to plan things for the weekends. But like once we're done hiking, you know, how much time do I have to finish that one project? Okay. Or how is this problem going to get solved? How is all this stuff going to get worked out? And honestly, if I were to like dig underneath all of those questions, I'm probably asking myself, am I the one that's supposed to solve or figure all of this stuff out? I feel like being in control is something that I enjoy. Those of you that know me really well, I am a creature of habit. I like predictability. I like to know what's next. I like to be able to have a plan, but control does not always bring peace. It doesn't always bring rest, and it definitely doesn't bring freedom. Maybe you can relate to that. That pressure to try to figure it all out, I'm sure there's some of you in this room today that are carrying that burden. And I know how heavy that is. Some of you are here trying to run your own business, a startup, or you just inherited a franchise or something. You're trying to raise your kids with your spouse or maybe by yourself. You're trying to take care of aging parents. You're trying to navigate life after a diagnosis or maybe a decision that was outside of your control. Maybe you're rebuilding your life after disappointment, or honestly, you're just trying to figure out how to survive an incredibly difficult and trying season. Does that sound like something some of you might be going through? And somewhere along the way, I think we had picked up this idea that we are supposed to be the ones to make it all happen. If we plan enough, if we problem solve enough, if we work, if we strive, and even if we crash at the end of the night after a completely full day, it's not restful. We're laying our head on the pillow out of complete exhaustion. Because we live in a world that is always moving. When we've got cities that are known for the city that never sleeps, it's a problem. That's the default posture of our culture these days, to do more, to be more, to fix it yourself. We're always advancing, we're always upgrading, we're always hustling and getting more done with less people, less time, less resources. And if we don't, if we pause long enough, those intrusive thoughts pop into our head and we begin to think maybe we will fall behind or maybe we will be forgotten. We consume more podcasts, leadership books, and self-help books. We buy the planner so we can do more. We buy a bullet journal to go with it and a whole bunch of really cool pens. I'm not saying that I've done this. But then we also download an app. We, you know, color coordinate our calendar and block time and all of these things. We stay up late. We get up early. We pour more in the end, just to feel more tired, more anxious, and more behind. And what's wild in all of this is that we've gotten really good at pretending that we're fine while we are secretly burning out. We might find ourselves in seasons going, yeah, this is just a season. I'll rest when, dot, dot, dot. Once this project is over, you know, everybody on the team is gonna be, you know, settling down. Or I'll rest after. But ultimately, in the end, rest never seems to come. Because somewhere along the way, we believe the lie that if we are not in control, everything will fall apart. We started to believe that our peace would come from our plans, that our provision would come from our performance. And I believe this is the really beautiful and disruptive truth of Psalm 23, especially in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Some translations might say, I have all I need. And that flips the script upside down. God is saying, you don't have to carry this all alone. That is my job. You're not the one holding it all together. That's me. So what's our job? It's not to scramble or to strive or to continue to hustle. It's to simply trust him. And if we're honest, trust is tough, especially when the next step feels unclear, especially when provision doesn't come on our timeline. You know, that's what's so beautiful about Waymaker, right? Like when we're singing that, even when I don't see it, you are working. Sometimes, though, when we don't see it, it's hard to remember that he is at work. And yet, the shepherd doesn't ask us to be able to see the whole path. He just asks us to follow. So before we talk about how to trust the shepherd, we need to be able to answer why we should follow. So if we start with just those first five words of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. David doesn't say a shepherd or the shepherd, he says my shepherd. And I find that incredibly interesting because It's not just, a random title that he's attributing to God. It's personal. It's relational. It's intimate. The Lord is my shepherd. And it carries a ton of weight coming from David, too. If you're familiar, David is someone who knew what it was like to care for sheep. He knew how vulnerable sheep were, how easily distracted they got, and how badly they needed someone to lead them to what was good. Does that sound familiar?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We don't always like to admit it. We're not all that different from sheep. We chase things that do not satisfy, that overpromise and underdeliver. We drift, we worry, and we lose our way. And in the end, when we do that, we don't need a lecture. We need a shepherd. Coming from David, the word shepherd hits differently because he knew exactly what that word meant. He knew from his own experience the sleeplessness that's involved with that, the watchfulness, the protection, the patience. He knew what it was like to walk ahead of the sheep, not just drive them from behind. And when David is saying, "The Lord is my shepherd," what he's really saying is, this is how God is with me. He's not distant. He's not harsh. He's not indifferent. He's present. He's personal. He's invested in our lives. And so when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," he's not just giving us a metaphor. He's offering us this beautiful model for what trust can look like. And if we're honest, following a shepherd sounds a whole lot easier than it actually is. Because following, for us, means that we have to let go of control. We have to let go of something. And it means that taking steps without knowing where we might go, where we might end up, we have to be okay with that. It means that we need to be listening for his voice amidst all of the other voices that we might hear in our lives, the ones that are around us, sometimes the loudest ones. And that's hard because I think internally we all enjoy leading at some point. We like to plan. We like to anticipate, to map it all out. But the shepherd is not asking us to take charge, is he? No, he's asking you, he's asking me to stay close, to let him set the pace, to let him determine where we are going, the direction, and to let him take responsibility for whatever is ahead of us. So let me ask this. Have you ever been on a hike with somebody, family, whatever, and you get to your spot, and I'm not saying a child might do this, but they might grab a map at Hocking Hills, and they look at the map, and they go, "All right, this is where we need to go," and you might think to yourself, "Kiddo, you have no idea how to read the map. You don't even know if this is like the right map for where we are." And yet, sometimes that is how we are with God. You know what I mean? Not because we don't believe in God, but because we don't want to follow God unless we get to steer, right? Like, how often have you ever been, saying to yourself, "God, you lead. You do your thing. Meanwhile, you're hanging on to the GPS. You're the one who's holding the phone and looking at the map, trying to tell God where to turn left, right, or whatever," right? For a different generation, the people that are still hanging on to the triptych. You guys remember those things? Man, growing up, those were so cool. But the role of a shepherd, just as a great reminder for us, is not to consult. It's to guide. And the role of the sheep is not to advise. We're not the ones that get to tell God where to turn. It is our role to follow. Following means trusting, even when we don't see the whole plan, even when we can't see the next turn. The shepherd does. because he's out ahead of us. He already knows the terrain that we're about to see. And even when the path seems unfamiliar, he's already walked it. Because even when we are unsure, God is not uncertain. And here's what David knows from experience. And I think some of us need to be able to hear and internalize this today. The safest place to be isn't where you feel in control. It's where the shepherd is close. So before we dig into this second half of verse 1, before we look at I shall not want or I have all that I need, we have to ask ourselves, do I actually trust the one who is leading me? Because until we can settle that, we will always live in anxiety. We will always live in worry, no matter how much we have. Because that is what this entire verse hinges on. If you don't trust the shepherd, you will always question the provision. And David, he could trust God as his shepherd because he knew what a shepherd did. He knew what it looked like. He lived that out. He had done it. He had seen it firsthand. Now, while you and I may not have a ton of experience with leading sheep, shepherding, we may not understand that metaphor, but there is one thing that we can understand, and that is Jesus. And Jesus didn't just affirm this image of a shepherd, he claims it for himself. We see in John 10, verse 11, where he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In other words, he's not saying, we're not just saying that he is a shepherd. He's the guide. The one who knows the terrain of our life, whether it's rocky, whether it's smooth sailing, he knows because he's been there and he's gone ahead of us. He's the one who leads us through the valleys, through the green pastures, and the one who sees what we can't and supplies what we need and when we need it. And if we trust the guide, we don't have to figure it all out. I think that's the really beautiful thing. We don't have to have all the answers or have it all figured out. We don't have to make the map. I don't know about you, but map making is not on my resume. Is it on yours? App, see, right there. Done. Roger, come up. I'm just kidding. We don't need to make the map. We just have to stay close enough to the one who is leading and guiding us. That's the beautiful thing. Jesus goes on to say, my sheep know my voice. I know them, and they follow me. This is not about rules. It's not about performance. It's about this intimate relationship that we have with Jesus. It's about knowing his voice, hearing it in the midst of everything else that's vying for our attention. And Jesus doesn't lead from a distance, right? He walks with you. He knows your name. He knows your heart. He knows your fears. He knows what you're anxious about. He knows what you need for your day before you even wake up. And he's already proven that he's trustworthy, not just because he guides you, not just because he knows you, but because he's given himself for you. And so when David says, the Lord is my shepherd, we don't just see a field with sheep. We have the beautiful opportunity to see a Savior with a cross. And that's why we can say the next part of this verse with confidence, that I have all that I need. Not because life is easy, not because everything always goes according to plan, but because if Jesus is leading, we are not lacking. Especially in a world where we are constantly told that we do not have enough. Not enough time. Not enough money, not enough resources, not enough energy, not enough success, status, security, control, you name it. Society will tell us this. And to be honest, there will always be something that you feel is lacking, that you feel like you do not have or that's missing. But here's the difference. When David is writing this from from his vantage point. He's not writing it from a place where he's got it all put together. He's writing it from a place of having someone and knowing who is holding it all together, who is holding him together. It's not about a picture-perfect life. It's about a trustworthy shepherd, someone who can guide us each and every day. David is not saying that my life is easy either. He is saying my shepherd is enough. And that's the quiet confidence that says, even when I don't have all the answers, I am not empty. Even when things don't go as I planned, I am not abandoned. I am not lost. Even when my plans fall apart, I am still held together. Because provision is not always about possessions or power or position. Provision is about presence. And when the shepherd is close, we are not in lack. Even Jesus says in Matthew 6, and I love this verse because this is a verse that is spoken to me in seasons of terrible and debilitating anxiety. And I would remember driving on 270, and I make it to 315, like right around there, and I thought I was going to die. It was an irrational fear, right? And I remember calling my mom and dad, but then they're coming to pick me up on the side of the road, and I'm trying to tell myself Matthew 6. So do not worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear? Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And so for me, that's a profound verse that got me through an incredibly long season. And the thing that I had to remember in all of that, it's everything that you need, not everything that you want. That's the distinction. Because everything that is essential for your peace, for your growth, for your purpose, God already knows. Jesus knows, and he provides. And here's what I think many of us need to be able to hear today. You do not need to hustle for what God has already promised. You do not need to earn the peace that he is offering freely. You do not need to manufacture provision when the shepherd already knows what you need. So let me ask you here today, what's the one thing that you are trying to carry on your own right now? The one area of your life, if you can be honest with yourself, that you feel like God maybe is not showing up fast enough or clear enough or big enough. Because what if instead of trying to pick up that problem on your own and fix it or force it or whatever, you whispered this verse like a prayer. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Because the truth is, if Jesus is your shepherd, you are not walking into your week empty-handed. You are not leaving this place and stepping into Monday barren, with nothing. You are walking with the one who knows exactly what you need and when you need it. He knows exactly where you need to go and how to get you there. So let me ask a simple but maybe revealing question. If you really believe the Lord is your shepherd, are you living like that's true? I feel like most of us would probably say with our words, yes. But our calendars, our anxiety, our worry, our bank accounts, all these other things might dictate otherwise. So if we were to try to break it down and make it practical, is there an area in your life that you are trying to lead instead of follow? And where are you clinging to control because you are afraid to release it? Folks, going through life white-knuckling every single situation is exhausting. Your hands are going to cramp up, and at some point, something's got to give. You cannot keep clinging to control because you are afraid to release it. Maybe it's your finances. Feeling like everything is on your shoulders in order to carry your household. Maybe it's your family. Maybe you've got one or two kids that just need some extra attention, some extra grace. Or maybe you're trying to carry all the weight of everyone in your household and their emotions and their feelings, meanwhile pushing your own down. Maybe it's work, thinking that if you don't perform, everything's going to fall apart. Or maybe it's deeper than that. Maybe it's about your identity. Maybe it's about your future or your worth. And if you're like me, you've probably prayed that prayer, Jesus, I trust you, while quietly planning every dot and tittle, every detail of a plan, so that just in case he doesn't show up, we've got a fallback, right? It'd be all right if God doesn't show up. And that's not the case. Trust does not mean that we get to be irresponsible. Trust just means that we stop pretending to be the source of everything that we need. The shepherd knows what you need. Our guide knows what you need. He's not waiting for you to get it all figured out so that you can just enter into a relationship with him like you've got everything in its place. He's not asking for that before he provides. He's simply asking that you would be close enough to him to follow. So here's the invitation for this week. Start each morning, maybe praying, Jesus, I trust you. I trust you to lead me. I trust you to provide. Maybe you can make that a practice so that before your feet hit the ground, the first words that leave your lips are those. And then maybe the next thing that you can do is start asking yourself, where am I trying to lead myself today? And a follow-up to that would be, what would it look like to follow instead? You do not need to fix everything today. That's not my hope. That's not my expectation for all of you. Just start by resetting your focus. That's it. Pretty simple. And then every time that you feel anxiety creeping into your life, every time the what-ifs start racing through your mind, every time you are tempted to take the wheel from Jesus, come back to this truth. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I have all that I need. You do not need to carry this pressure on your own. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to stay close enough to the one who already does have it figured out. Can you imagine what our church would look like if we started to live in this way? If we truly believed that we had everything we needed from him. Think about that for a moment. What would that look like? For me, if I think about it, we'd be less anxious and more anchored. We would be less frantic, maybe more faithful. Less guarded and more generous. We would stop chasing validation and start walking in the confidence. Not because life is perfect, but because Christ is present. It would change how we would carry ourselves when you walk into a room. It would change how we would help carry one another's burdens, where trust would be incredibly visible, that people could look at us and go, oh yeah, there's something different about this person. Where surrender is not a weakness, but it's a strength. Where we could celebrate that. Because the world around us is running itself into the ground, trying to control everything, fix everything, and hold it all together. But what if we were different? What if we were a people who lived like we have a shepherd? A people who walk quietly, confidently, and even joyfully throughout life. Because we know who is leading us. And that, I believe, is how our journey off the grid begins. Not by running faster, not by doing more, not by doing it better, but by slowing down and surrendering and trusting the voice of the shepherd, by walking with him, by believing that wherever he leads, he will be there with us. Because wherever the Lord guides, he provides. Let's walk this together, trusting the shepherd to lead us every step of the way. I know we are that kind of church, and I know the community around us needs that kind of church. The world needs that kind of church. So let's walk that out this week. The Lord is our shepherd. We have all that we need. Let's live like we've gone off grid, not from purpose, not from people, not just retreating because it would be convenient and a little less noisy, but go off the grid from having to take control of everything and really start to get close to God. We could trade panic for peace. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? So that we can follow the voice of the one who knows the way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's live like it's true. Would you pray with me? God, we are grateful for today. We're grateful for moments like this where we can pause, where we can slow down and we can begin to reflect on the areas of our lives where maybe we've been clinging too tightly to everything, and we need to know that it's going to be okay because you've got everything under control. Even when we may not see or understand everything, God, that we know that you are our God. That you know the terrain, you know where we are going, you know each of us by name. And Father, so that maybe today we can kind of catch our breath before we begin on this journey together. And maybe for some that are here today that are just tired of trying to keep it all together, that may not know you and that want to know you, God, that just want to completely relinquish control of their life, God, we're grateful for the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so today, we want to be able to take that finished work and our belief and allow you to be the Lord of our life, allow you to be our Savior, allow you to be our shepherd, our guide. And so would you do that? Would you continue to lead in the way that only you can, in the best way that is through you? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.